It's a blessing. Amen.
Y'all go ahead and stand in a minute and take your Bibles. Brother, we're going to do something a little different this morning. Brother, I appreciate it so much. It's good, brother.
Amen.
Amen. Brother, you're so right, brother. A price that was paid so we could have that book.
Yes.
Great goodness, brethren. I bet most of us, brethren, have only how many Bibles in our houses.
Yes.
Man, used to, brethren, I mean, some of the churches would have them and that's it. And you had men like Luther and Huss and then brother over at Tyndale, brother, they desired, brother, to get the Word of God in the common people's hands.
Yes.
And they paid a price to do that.
Yes.
My goodness gracious, brethren. God, listen. God in heaven forbid, shame on me, brethren, for not devoting the time I'll devote to that book when such a price has been paid for me to have it.
Yes, sir.
For God to give it and men to have a desire to get it in our language and put it in our hands. What a blessing.
Yeah.
What a Savior, brethren. He is. I tell you what, brethren, look here, honestly. You just can't. Brother Chris, appreciate your realness, brother. And just, brethren, what a God. To love us enough, to die for us, to set this thing up, give us His Word. Goodness gracious alive, brother. Maintain us, sustain us. He's everything.
Yes, sir. Yes.
He is altogether lovely and wonderful.
Yes.
He's everything.
Amen.
Listen, I'll tell you something this morning. If you don't know Him, I invite you to come to know Him as your own.
Yes, sir.
Listen, if you do, just ask God to stir on those coals on your heart and blow upon them.
Yes.
Brother, He is worthy of all our adoration and thanksgiving. He's wonderful. There's nothing like Him.
Amen.
Amen, brethren. Won't you take your Bibles? We've been going through the book of Leviticus here on Sunday mornings, but we're going to do something a little different this morning. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 5, and then Exodus 12. 1 Corinthians 5. And verse 7. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. The Bible says this. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Alright, take your Bible and go to Exodus 12. Brethren, I know that we've looked at this many times before. You know, we've had twice now. We've done a Passover supper here. Didn't do it again. We didn't do it this year. Don't do it every year. It'll lose kind of its specialness to us. But we've had, you know, last year we had a Passover supper. And just a blessing to see those things, see Christ and all that. But Exodus 12. Tomorrow starts Passover. Exodus 12 verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread. And with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire. His head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, just help us this morning to see you fresh and anew once again in the Passover sacrifice. Lord, give us just a fresh appreciation of what You've done for us. And Lord, help us be open and honest with You about where we are this morning. And Father, we ask these things according to Thy will in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Amen. Brethren, you know, tomorrow, I believe it's tomorrow, it might be Tuesday, but either tomorrow or Tuesday, begins Passover for the Jews. So they're going to take and they're going to observe Passover. Well, they're going to call it Passover. You know, Pesach, they're going to call it that. But really what the Jews today observe is unleavened bread. They really don't observe Passover today. And they'll admit that if you corner them about it. Because there is no place for them to offer the Passover sacrifice. There's no temple in Jerusalem. There's no temple. Now, you know something, brethren? Look here. Do you realize for about 2,000 years now, you and I have been able to go to the Jewish people and we have been able to say to them, hey, listen, you know what? Listen, you know you're not really celebrating Passover. And they will admit that. They know that. Because they can't offer a lamb. Because they'll tell you, the only place you can offer a lamb that's acceptable to God is in the temple of Jerusalem. There's no temple. So what they do is they have this Passover ceremony. You know, and we've done it here. We've got together, you know, we've had the meal, you know, they've got the different parts, and they've got the Passover Seder and the Haggadah, you know, that they go through. But what they're really celebrating is, they call it Chag HaMatzot, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Because they can't offer Passover sacrifice. So for 2,000 years, you and I have been able to say to them, you know, how come God has allowed for 2,000 years, has allowed for you not to have a place to offer sacrifice? Why is that? Now the rabbis will tell them, you are a sacrifice. You give yourself to God. Now, that works after salvation. Romans 12, we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. That's okay after you're saved. Brethren, there's got to come first, though, that blood sacrifice. And brethren, for 2,000 years, you and I have been able to tell a Jewish person, friend, my dear sir, but does not the law require a blood sacrifice? You can say all you want to say about your good deeds and, you know, you're offering yourself and you submit yourself to God, but doesn't the book require a blood sacrifice? And he'd have to look at you and duck his head and say, yes, or I'll talk to my rabbi, or I don't want to discuss it, but he knows that. But you know what? Things get ready to turn. Things get ready to turn. Just to let you know where we're at. Brethren, if you've kept up with anything, you know that right now in Israel, there are groups right now that bad want to rebuild that temple. I mean, every day there's talk about it. There's a group called the Temple Mount Faithful that had petitioned, I believe they petitioned the Israeli government, I believe this week, to be allowed to sacrifice a lamb on the Temple Mount. Now, the Muslims would go ballistic if they did that, but they don't care. Because they're like, hey, yeah, we don't have the temple yet, but this is the place we want to offer a lamb here. We want to offer a sacrifice. And they probably won't be allowed to do it. But they keep pushing it. And they keep pushing it. And brethren, they're close. And we know that according to that book, during the tribulation time, there will be a temple. There's going to be a temple there. Because Antichrist will come in and he will stop temple sacrifices. Which means sometime soon they're going to start again. They're going to start. There will be a temple. They will offer sacrifice. Antichrist will come in the middle of the tribulation. At the 3.5 year mark, he'll come in and say, knock it off, you're not doing it. Set himself up to be God. But it'll have to start before he stops it. Who knows? He may be the one to start it again. I mean, brother, if somebody could come in and bring some kind of resolution over there that would satisfy the Muslims and satisfy the Jews, allow the temple to rebuild, sacrifice to start again, man, they'd go after a guy like that. I don't know if he'll be the one to start it, but he will be the one to stop it. So what I'm telling you is, brethren, look how close we're getting. I mean, brethren, we've been able for 2,000 years to tell the Jew, why can't you have true Passover? Why did God allow the temple to be raised? Why did He allow that to happen? Well, you know the answer is because Christ, the Lamb of God, fulfilled it. He is Christ is our Passover. So that's the reason. But we're approaching that time to where, from what I see, the Lord's going to pull us out of here. that tribulational time will start. The temple will get rebuilt. I mean, sacrifice will start again. But oh, how bad the deception will be. But brethren, until that time comes, while we still have life and breath and time here, we need to be telling others about that sacrificial Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, we need to be telling, listen, if you get a chance to tell Jewish people about their own Messiah, take the opportunity. What a joy, what a privilege. You know, last year when we had Mr. Engel in, what a privilege it was for us. And there he is, a Holocaust survivor from Auschwitz. Was it Auschwitz he was from? Yeah. And to be able to give him a copy of the Hebrew Scriptures. And be able to give him some... I mean, it's a blessing, brethren. Brethren, do what you can. But be that as it may, brethren. We've been able to, again, for 2,000 years, tell the Jews. You know why you can't do that? Because Christ fulfilled it. And He is the fulfillment of it. Even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. You know, the Bible is so plain. The Bible is so plain and so straight up. Passover. What's it about? It's about God passing over. Where the blood was applied, He passed over. Take your Bible, look here, Exodus 12. Let's look at it. I know you're familiar with it, but let's look at it again anyway. Exodus 12, verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Which is this month now. It corresponds roughly to our March, April. The month of Nisan. And that's the first month of the year to them. A Jew could always know when Passover was. Because when the almond trees bud over there, best of my knowledge, they're working out like the almond tree buds, and the next full moon, they're going to know, boom, that it's time. You know, from the new moon. And you know, brethren, how the Bible shows us that pattern of the feast of the Lord and how they even correspond to pregnancy in the womb of a woman. You take that first one. The Jewish religious year starts with Passover. And when is it? On the 14th day of the month at even. So the Jewish year, the months are, you know, are 28 days, roughly, you know. They according to the moon. And on the 14th day of that month is Passover. Now, brethren, look here. Every lady in this room knows there's something else that runs roughly 28 days. Roughly. Ideally. And on the 14th day of that ideal deal, a woman would ovulate. On the 14th day of the month. And you know what, brethren? So boom, it kicks off with Passover. All the rest of the feast, unleavened bread, first fruits, all the rest of them correspond to the development of a baby inside a woman's womb. That's God, buddy. That's God. I mean, we find these things out, you know, the last couple of hundred and so years, how things, the womb gets opened up. But there, the Lord just set it all up, you know, and it all corresponds there. It's wonderful. But look at this. Look at this. So, verse 3, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. So what you did was, 4 days prior to the 14th, on the 10th day, you picked you out a lamb. And you kept him up during that time period to examine him, to make sure that he was good to go, that there was no blemish, there was no problem with it. Alright, so that lamb would be kept up. But that's why you see in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus got so upset. You know, he'd come in, you know, and turned over those tables of the money changers, you know. You made my father's house a den of thieves. From what I gathered, what they would do is, you would bring a lamb, right? And by the way, brethren, by the way, please, folks, you brought that lamb. You brought it. Nobody else did. And you know what you did? You killed it. On some of the sacrifices, brethren, on some of the sacrifices, you put your hands on and you identified, you would kill it. Brethren, this mess we've got today, honestly, Lord heaven help us, this mess we've got today of, okay, take my hand, all right, you repeat after me, dear Lord, you know what? That priest didn't come down and go, okay, all right, here you go, I got your hand, now, no sir.
Yes,
no sir. That priest had a part he did. But there's a part you did.
Right.
Do you want redemption? You want forgiveness? You got to bring that lamb. You got to identify with it. Some cases, you got to take. You got to do it. Not somebody else. Okay, I'll take your hand. I'll go. No, sir. Yet that's what gets done today. That lamb you had to bring. All right? And they took an exam. It was there, and they examined it. And so what would happen is, in Israel, during our Lord's Day, what had happened was, the priest got to examine that thing. On some of the regular sacrifices, the priest would examine it. And that priest might go, you know what? We got a problem here. We got a flaw. Your lamb has a blemish. But for a price, we have our temple lambs here that if you have the money, we can give you an acceptable lamb. Just like everything, brother. But hey, if you don't mind going to hell, religion's a good outfit. Man, if you don't mind going to hell, you can make some money off religion. Well, if you don't mind at the end of it burning a lake of fire, man, you make some good money off religion. It's always been that way. But you got that lamb, and you kept it up on that tenth, and you examined it. You know what, brethren? Our Lord, prior to Him coming into Jerusalem and being sacrificed for us, prior to that, He came in, and He rode on that ass's colt. He came in, and they said, "Hosanna, Hosanna!" You know what they were doing? They were examining the lamb. They were examining the lamb, and they didn't find no problem with it, no fault at all. You know what, brethren? Later on, Pilate examines Him. I find no fault in this man at all. When they tried to bring up bogus charges against Him, and it was all contrived. When Pilate said, "Why? What have you done?" They could not give an answer. They could not give a legitimate answer. They could find no honest fault in Him neither. No fault in Him, brother. He was examined. But above all, the Father examined Him and found no fault within Him at any time. I mean, it's wonderful that the Jews examined Him. They couldn't put a pin up on Him. Pilate examined Him. But I'll tell you something. The Father found no fault with Him. "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He said it at the start of His ministry. He said it there with Moses and Elijah on Him on the Mount. And it was proven that the Father found no fault in the Son because He raised Him from the dead.
Right.
You see, if Jesus Christ had had one sin in Him, He would have never got up from that grave. Listen, friend, Jesus Christ is either who He said He was, or that's the worst man that ever lived. Jesus Christ is either the Son of the living God. He is either the one with whom we have to do. He is either our access to the Father. He is either our redemption, or He is the worst person that ever walked this earth. And there's no in between. You cannot today. Listen, folks, today I want to say, I believe He was a good teacher. I believe He was a good man. I believe He was a good teacher. A great religious leader. I believe He was maybe even an ascended master like Buddha. Now, don't you dare put my Christ in the same category as Him. But now I can't accept this thing of His divinity, that He was the Son of God. Then you can't call Him good. You can't. Jesus said, either make the tree good or the fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and the fruit corrupt. It can't be both ways. Jesus Christ cannot be a good man if He's merely just a man. If He is not God who became flesh, if He is not the Son of God, He is not good. Because if He is not who He said He was, He's a liar. In fact, the greatest liar that's ever been. How about that? But isn't something? I mean, brother, you folks, you had better decide. Here, listening on tape, you had better decide who Jesus Christ is. You better get that settled. Eternity is resting on that. And it cannot be a middle ground kind of thing. There can't be. He is who He said He was, or He's the worst man that ever lived. Well, it's not that cut and dry. You see, listen, because I agree He did good. And there was some good He did, but I just can't buy His divinity. All right, time out. How good can someone be if they help you out, if they give good counsel to you, but at the same time claim to be God? And Jesus Christ claimed to be God. Now, if He's not, He's a liar. He's a liar, and you are insane for being in here this morning. There are better things to do. Come on. If He's not, why are we sitting around? If He's not who He said He was. Brethren, again, let's suppose. Would you do that? Let's suppose Maybe I was able to help you out with some counsel from the Scriptures, you know, or something like that. Maybe gave you some help. But I also said, and I told you this before, but I also said, but I want you to know now, when somebody asks you who, you tell them that I'm God. Just want you to know. Glad you got some help. But you remember who wasn't helped you? God. Now, brethren, you'd be insane to come back to me for anything. You'd be crazy to let your kids get around anything I had to say. Because I don't care how much help someone gives you, if they claim to be something they're not, then they're a liar. When you say you're something you're not, you're a liar. Jesus Christ claimed to be God Almighty. He claimed equality with God the Father. He claimed to be God manifest in the flesh. That's who He said He was. That's who the Bible purports Him to be. Now, if He is, He's the one with whom we have to do, and you better do with Him with no time wasted. If He's not, don't worry about it. Worst liar that ever lived, that book ain't worth a second glance. Seriously. There's no in-between. That book is either worth my complete devotion, or it is not worth taking up space on a shelf in my house.
Remember,
there's no in between. Don't hand me that stuff about, well, you know, the literary language of it, you know, and it's good as a literary masterpiece. No, forget it. It doesn't claim to be that. It claims to be the Word and words of the living God. If it is, that's the book I need to spend my time with.
Right.
If it's not, it's a lie.
Amen, sir.
And I don't want my kids exposed to it. Brethren, either is or isn't. And you'd better find out and get settled in your mind. Because there can be no in-between with that thing. So they examined Him. The Father examined Him. The Father found no fault there. Let me tell you something, brother. Look here. Well, I'll close up with it in a little bit. Amen. Just hold on. So look what it says in Exodus 12, verse number 4. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. So you had to have a lamb for a house. But listen, if your house was small and there was enough lamb for you and over, you shared your lamb with your neighbor. Brother, listen, there's enough of the Lamb of God to go around for the whole world. But the first thing is to making sure that you've got a lamb for your household. Make sure you've got a lamb for your household. And then you share your lamb with your neighbor. Brethren, may God in heaven help us to realize this and realize that once we've got, that we've shared the lamb with our home. Now, brother, look here. You can't force the lamb down somebody's throat. You can't do that. Dads, you can provide the lamb. You can provide the lamb, and that you're required to do, gentlemen. You can't make somebody eat something if they don't eat it, but you can provide it. And gentlemen, that is mine and your responsibility as our individual homes, that we provide the lamb. Now, if they take it, it's up to them. If they partake of Him, we need to pray that they will. But all we can do is provide Him. But once we've provided for the home, you know what? There's others that we need to share the lamb with. You can't force them, but you can make Him available to them. You can do that. And may God, brethren, with the time we've got left, may God in heaven help us to do that. And share our lamb with those around us. Those that live around you, in your where your home's at work, wherever. You know, in the Bible, your neighbor encompasses anyone. It does. Share your lamb. Look at this. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish. A male the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. So that lamb could have been either a sheep or a goat. Either one of them. Most time we think of it as a lamb. Instead of a goat. But a goat could have been used too. But I tell you this. I know this. There's something about a lamb. Well, brother, I tell you what. I wanted to get a lamb to bring in today, but I just didn't have enough time. Lord willing, we'll do it sometime. Brethren, there's something about a lamb and the Lord Jesus being the Lamb of God. When I was up at your brother's place up in Virginia, and I bought that lamb in there. I told him, I said, get me a lamb. And they got me a lamb. And all the kids got to play with that lamb. They spent time with it. And I brought that lamb up on the platform. Brethren, if I hadn't seen it, I mean, the Bible says it, but lo and behold, there it was. When I got that lamb up there, and I had a butcher knife with me, and I wasn't going to do it. But I didn't worry about who knows. You know. That lamb, when I got it up there, you know what it did? Boom. It literally, I promise you, you can call up there and ask any of them, it was there. That lamb laid down and rolled its neck back. I just wept. That lamb laid down. I wasn't expecting that. I know the book says it, but I just wouldn't. That lamb laid down. It laid down. It went silent. I thought, I've killed it. I thought, I have scared this lamb to death. And these kids and everybody here, what am I going to do in a minute? I got to get this lamb up and it ain't moving. I thought, I've killed it. Honestly. And the thing of it is, it fell on the knife. The knife, I thought, great. I just meant to do this as an illustration. There is going to be blood flowing out from here just in a minute all over this carpet. I thought, I've killed it. Because, brethren, I promise you, that lamb went totally limp. It literally laid down. It laid down its life. Rolled its neck back. I promise you. It would have been no problem. Just, I've heard that guys in butcher houses who kill hogs can kill cows. Not everybody can kill sheep, lambs. It's not the same. And it's not. And sure enough, I wondered, is it alive? And sure enough, after a little bit, boom, it got up. But brethren, literally, when your Bible talks about Him laying down His life for us, the Lamb of God, that lamb just went just as quiet. Hey, as a lamb before slaughter, it was just quiet. Now before that, when it was time to kill that thing, not a word. Not a word, brethren, not a word. It didn't say nothing. It literally laid down, rolled its neck back, and said, here I am. Brethren, that's what the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, did. There was no protest. There was no uttering anything. There was no kind of anything. He didn't take, I'm getting a raw deal. I'm getting a bum deal from this. You're railroading me. None of that. He went quietly. What did you hear? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Just words of forgiveness, words of love. And He, listen, brother, He exposed His neck, if you will. He laid His life down, not for one thing that He had done, but for everything I've done and you've done. Look here. Y'all heard me say it. Those of you on tape, I'll say it again here. Everybody listening to this thing on tape, you've got things you've done that nobody knows about but you and God. Your mama don't know about it. Your daddy don't know about it. Husband, wife, children. There's things you've done. There's things you've said. There's things you've done. There's things you've thought. They're only you and God know it. Now, that's the truth. And truth be known, sometimes you wished you didn't know it. But it's there. And you want to do that's where. But if you want to know where hang-ups and psychological problems come from, it is the guilt of sin. And you can tell somebody, no, you don't have to feel guilty. Sin is some outdated thing that our ancestors came up with. And we're enlightened today. We're better educated. That's not wrong. You don't need to feel guilty. And you can tell yourself all day wrong. I don't need to feel guilty. I don't need to feel guilty. I don't need to feel wrong. I don't need to feel bad. Honey, until you get home at night and it's you in that pillow. And you know. You know. You can say all you want. You can read all the books you want that tells you, no, you don't need to feel bad about that. Everybody's like that. It's just normal. There's no problem. You can say that yourself. You can repeat that mantra all you want. Until the lights turn out. It's you alone in that pillow. And you know. You know. Down in there, you know. You know there's a God in heaven who's created all. If you've got any sense at all, you can see the divine order all around you. You can see, if you have any common sense at all, you can see there's no way this can just happen. You've never seen anything in this life just come into existence. You've never seen things left to themselves produce order. You see them fall apart, not come together, without some outside force. That shows you that everything around here couldn't have just happened. There's God. And if He created all things, He knows you. And the book says He knows your down city, your uprising. He understands your thoughts afar off. He knows everything you've said, done, thought. Listen, folks, love you this morning. Love you. But listen, if you're going to take and refuse to accept God's gift of salvation, Jesus Christ, if you're going to lie to yourself and say, I'm not a sinner, I'm not as bad as anybody else, I believe someday, if there is a God, He'll weigh my good and my bad, and He'll realize I'm not that bad. If you want to believe such foolishness, I'll tell you what the book says. There's coming a day, if you refuse God's gift of salvation, Jesus Christ. The Bible says the judgment will be set and the books will be opened. Now, can you imagine that? Can you imagine appearing before an entity who knows everything you've ever said, done, thought, whatever? And you, in your delusion, have thought that, you know, I think I can stand up to a judgment. I'm just as good as the next guy. Now, here's a God whose standard of holiness and justice is so high that he would allow His sinless Son to die to atone for sins. Don't you see? If there was some other way, God would have done it. Don't you understand? If there could have been some other way for you to be saved, God would have done it. The Savior in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, all things are possible with Thee. Let this cup pass from me. Don't you see what Christ is praying? Father, you're the Father. All things are possible with You. Is there some other way? Let this cup pass. There was no other way. Here is His only begotten Son. The one that He said, this is My Son whom I'm well pleased. The one that always pleased Him. The one that had fellowship with Him from eternity past. Here is His beloved, beloved, dear Son crying out, Abba, Father, all things are possible. Let this cup pass from me. Don't you think if there was some other way, the Father would have said, Son, there's another way. You don't have to. There was no other way. In order for you and I to have an opportunity of salvation, this was the only way. This was the only way. You know what, brethren? I've told you before. You know the thing that blows my mind about it? Brethren, see, listen. You did right to praise the Lord in song this morning. You did right. And don't ever stop it. You were right to do so. Let me tell you why. Brethren, it would have been miraculous. It would have been wonderful if Adam had sinned and God had said, well, would you look at that? I'll be. What do you know? Well, guess we've got to make that thing right. That would have been wonderful. That would have been wonderful if God had seen Adam sin and God had said, well, I'll be. Well, what do you know about that? Would you look at that fellow done? Well, I'll make a way. I'll make it right. That would have been wonderful. Oh, but it's far beyond that. You see, going into it, before God made Adam, God knew He'll blow it. He'll blow it. He'll violate My Word. And the only way that it can ever be made right, brethren, I'm talking about going into it, He knew this. The only way it can ever be made right is if I will make it right myself. And I'm willing to. God set up a standard from the get-go that He knew only He could make right, yet He was willing to. Brother Dawson, I don't understand. I do. You tell me how else He could show how great a love He has. You, my friend, you will not stand before God and question whether or not He loved you. If you reject His gift of salvation, Jesus Christ, you'll stand before Him. But you won't tell Him that He didn't love you. You'll realize it. You'll probably bow that head. And you'll say amen to every bit of condemnation that comes out of His lips as He gets ready to put you in the lake of fire. But you won't question it. I just pray to God you see it now. This side of the grave. He was willing. He set up a system that He knew going in. Only He could make right. You wouldn't do that and I wouldn't do that. You ain't got that kind of love and I don't either. God does. Can you imagine setting up a system ahead of time knowing Don't, I'm going to set up something. I'll be the only one to make it right. My son, you'll have to die for him. You'll have to. I'll have to become one of them. I'll have to become one of them. Let them abuse me and then die in their place. It didn't catch him off guard. He knew going in that's what it would be. But he was, Lord, you are wonderful. You are wonderful. You're beyond words. What a Savior.
Amen.
What a Savior. Come on, man. Islam, get out of here. We got it. What are you talking about? Islam, Buddhism, you've got to be kidding me. Glory to God, what a Savior.
Amen.
Great goodness. The Creator of the universe. Setting it up, going in, knowing it, but saying, I'm willing to. I'm willing to. Jonathan Dawes, just to show you how much I love you. This is... And not give him my all. Not give him my every bit of meat, lock, stock, and barrel. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? What a God. What? Oh, he got a deal when he got me. No, sir. What? Come on. Brethren. What? Well, the song, Jesus, keep me near the cross. You better ask Him to keep you near it. Because that's where victory's found.
Amen.
I'm all about studying the book, and I believe in rightly dividing the book. You want to stay close to the Lord, you better stay near the cross. You better stay near to what He's done. You better let that always be fresh and new and wonderful and precious to you. And just let it increase and increase and increase.
Yes.
That's what it's all about. What a Savior. Oh, my goodness. Listen, that's what He was willing to do, and that's what He did for you and for I. I thank God I had sense enough. There came a day in my life that I had sense enough to admit to God what I was, believe what He had done for me, and responded to that, and accepted Christ's sacrifice on my behalf. And He saved me. He washed that sin and guilt away. I mean, it was there, man. You could tell me we don't need to feel guilty. I tell you, it didn't work in the dark. That stuff don't work in the dark, man. When it's just me alone and myself, I'm like, but I know what I've done. I'm guilty. The only thing to wash it away was and is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He did. He forgave me. He can you. But preacher, I've done, man, what you've done? No, what you've done? The blood avails. The blood avails. It's there to wash away. If you're willing, no excuses. God can deal with your sin, not your excuse. He won't deal with your excuse. He will not. Well, you know, I come from a bad... Everybody's got a story line up. Don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. Those guys at juvenile center or the jail, everybody's got a story.
Right.
Everybody's got a story. Save it. Everybody's got one. Yeah, but you know, if I just had a better home or better education, if I'd have had... What? What? You get an education, you should be an educated thief. Huh? Theodore Roosevelt had it right. An uneducated man will steal from a railroad car. If you give him an education, he'll steal the railroad company. What's the difference?
Amen.
I mean, seriously. The only difference in sin, brethren, is at the level you can do it at.
Right. Right.
That's true. We're bad. We're undone. No excuses.
Yes.
God, I'm bad. I had to take. I wanted to be like the proverbial cockroach. When the Holy Ghost shined upon me, I wanted to run.
Yes, sir.
I did.
Yes.
I felt like I was naked before the whole universe. But I stood there and I said, God, it's true. It's true. But I believe Your Son died for me. He died for me and I accept that. And you know what He did? He forgave me, cleansed me, and made me His.
Yeah, amen.
And He can and will do the same for you if you'll let Him. God's not forcing His salvation on anyone. He'll do that if you'll let Him. Look here, real quick. Exodus 12:6, and he shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. All of them. Who killed him? Well, Jews did. Rome did. And I did. Paul did. Yeah, the Jews did it. Of course they did. They delivered him up. His blood be on us and on our children after us. Yeah, the Romans did it. Romans the one hung him up. Yeah, sure they did. But my sins put him there. It's all of us. Look here. Verse 7, they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper door posts of the houses where they shall eat it. Put that blood on the door. Makes a kind of a cross, don't it? Seriously, it does. Side post, upper door post. Put that blood on the door. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with the bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat none of it raw, nor sodden it all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. Listen. They were to eat it roast with fire. Wages of sin is death. Do you know what, brethren? Do you know your Bible says in Acts 2 that Christ went to hell for us? He went to hell. The Bible says that. Now, brethren, I don't believe He suffered any torment there, but He went there. I believe He went there as a scapegoat depositing our sins, but He went there. The book says it did. Oh, I know, I know. Well, no, no, brother. Also, I mean, the original, that means Hades. Save your Hades mess.
Right.
The book says hell.
Amen.
That stuff. If the Holy Ghost had wanted it to say Hades, He'd have said Hades. He said hell. That's where He went. There was two parts down there. Yet over there was paradise. No Hades mess, man. It was paradise and it was hell. And He went to hell. Deposited those sins, I believe. And then He got up the third day.
Yes.
Hey, you supposed to eat with unleavened bread? Bitter herbs. Well, that bitterness to the Jews of those bitter herbs reminding you of the bondage and all like that. But I tell you what, brother, it ought to remind you of the bondage of sin.
Right.
It ought to remind you of that, brother. You know what, brother? You know what? When the children of Israel came out, that mixed multitude, what'd they do? They got them lusting after the leeks, onions, and garlics. It's springtime, you know. You know what the devil will do sometimes? You'll be in a store somewhere. Trees are coming out. The buds on them, you know. The flowers are blooming. You know what? He'll bring a song up somewhere that you remember back from your teenage years, and he's trying to take you back. He's trying to take you back. He's trying to take you back and get you, you know. And you want to remind you of? Oh, man, you was footloose. You was fancy free, you know. You didn't have no cares. You didn't have no burdens. Man, all life was before you. He ain't reminding you of the mess you was in. He ain't reminding you of the bondage you were in. He ain't reminding you how you was just sick of life sometimes. He's not reminding you of that stuff.
Right.
The children of Israel remembered the leeks, the onions, and the garlics. They didn't remember the bondage, the rigor, the beatings. He won't remind you of that stuff. He will remind you of that. He'll just remind you of good times, man, good times. When I was young, I was pretty... Oh, a bunch of mess. He's not reminding you of all that other stuff. The world puts the emphasis on youth. God puts the emphasis, believe it or not, on the hoary head and that gray head. I wouldn't go back for nothing. Brethren, in Christ, it honestly can get better and better. Seriously. You just go on and on and on and on and just increase on. Honestly. And Lord, it can be. If you allow Him to do so in your life. Look here, I'll try to hurry up. Watch what's going on next. Verse 10 says, "Ye shall have nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire." You better not put it off. You didn't the next morning say, "Well, you know, I thank God, Lord." Nope, 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 nope. You eat it tonight, in the morning it's burnt, it's gone. Nope. You know there were other sacrifices like that. The Lord said, "You eat it now. You don't save it up. You get it now." Look here. Do I believe a man can get saved at any time? Sure, I do. Do I believe people can get saved on their deathbed? Sure, I do. But you better not count on it.
Right.
You better not count on it. If you're plotting, if you're scheming, if you're thinking I'm going to do it my way, and then me and God will hook up, it most likely ain't happening. Because you're setting the terms and you're setting the time. It's not happening. You come to God now as He is dealing with you. If the Spirit of the God is wooing you and saying, come, you better take that outstretched hand the Lord offers you and come. Brethren, I honestly believe, I'm just being honest with you, the night I got saved, I really believed if I had gone out of that night, I knew the Lord was dealing with me. I knew it. If I had gone out of that night, I believe I'd been living definitely on borrowed time then. I knew. And brother, look here. It was a matter. It couldn't be the time of, well, you know, Lord, let me just hang on. You've got to be kidding me. But I'm going to say that the man only gets one chance of salvation. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, Lord's dealing with you and you're putting things up. You're playing with fire.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. You know, like a hard place. It gets harder and harder and harder. The more it gets agitated and irritated, and just harder and harder. Your heart will be like that. Look here. Take your Bible real quick. Verse 11. Thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. The Lord's Passover. He was passing over. Real quick, verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So we've got hymns. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Look. Sum it up to you. Right now, folks, right now, whether you're here or whether you're listening on tape, right now, as God is looking down from heaven, and He is, the eyes of the Lord are every place, beholding the evil and the good. As He looks at you, no, not the person next to you, at you, He sees either the blood of His Son, or He sees you and your sin. Now, that's all there is to it. If He sees the blood of His Son, judgment has passed over, and you are safe, and you are secure in Christ. If He doesn't see you in His Son, covered by His blood, then, listen, condemnation is hanging over you, and it's just a matter of time, friend, that you draw that last breath, and you're done in more ways than one. Honestly, I'm not trying to put the big, boo, bugaboo scare on you. I'm just telling you the truth. That is just the solid truth. That's all there is to it. That blood was put on the side post of the door. Jesus Christ said, I'm the door. If you're in Him, you're safe. The blood covers you. Judgment passes over. Righteousness is imputed to you. You're safe and secure in Jesus. If you're outside of Him, honestly, you're just hanging on by a thread. Do you realize the things that can happen to you in one day? All it takes is a car coming across the other line. What was it there in Kentucky this past week? All those Mennonites, God bless them, was on the way to a wedding. Tractor and trailer come across there, killed by Lebanon or something like that. Man, just, you know, things happen. I'm just telling you the truth. You know that. And listen, if God has dealt with you over the matter of your soul, and you let that thing go undone, undealt with, one day it's going to be too late. You'll pull that last breath, and that's it. There is no purgatory. That's a lie. There's no purgatory. It's just a lie from hell. All right? It's heaven. It's hell. It's up or down. It's good or bad. It's life or death. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Listen. That book says, that to the Lord Jesus Christ, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. One way or another, you're going to do it. If you wait till after you die, you'll do it. But you'll reap no benefit from it. You'll just be acknowledging His supreme authority. You'll bow the knee. You'll proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord. And from what I can tell, then it's off to the lake of fire. And you'll no benefit. You'll do it, but there'll be no benefit because you waited too late. You'll just be acknowledging supreme authority, ultimate sovereignty. If you do it voluntarily this side of the grave, on your own, see, you will do it then. But if you do it voluntarily now, if you bow that knee and proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ, what will happen is you will reap the benefit of salvation. God will forgive you. He'll make you His this side of the grave. The other side, it's too late. It's too late. Take your Bible. Go to Isaiah 53. Just a couple things real quick. By the way, if you'll go back and do me a favor, I want you to go back sometime today or tonight. I want you to go back and read Exodus 12, and here's what you're going to notice. What you're going to notice is this. And please, I want you to do it. Prove me out on it. You'll find in Exodus 12 that your Bible says that every home in Egypt had someone that died. Do you understand? There was not a house. There was not one house in Egypt where death did not strike. Guess what that means? No house in Egypt had the blood on the door. None. 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 Did you know that the Egyptians did a lot of things when those plagues started happening? Did you know those Egyptians, sometimes they'd bring, when God started bringing the plagues, sometimes they'd bring their cows out into the field, you know? They started saying, you know, something's up with this. And they listened. But nobody in Egypt took heed to this. Now, when it was time, like, you know, I believe that Moses has got something, man. I'm pulling my stuff out of the field, man. They would do it. But when it came to putting the blood on the door, nobody. But that's why. I think I know why. That book says that shepherds and sheep were abomination of the Egyptians. They messed with sheep. They considered them to be abominable. Do you realize what it would have cost them to have done that? They would have had to have taken a stand. I mean, it's one thing to, you know, I don't know, man, maybe Moses is like Nostradamus. I don't know, man. He's got a pretty good record. I'll pull my cows out of him, you know. But it's another thing to go and say, the way I was brought up, my religious upbringing, the beliefs I've had, they're wrong. I believe those Jews have the right God. I believe it. I accept their way of worship. I accept that lamb that they have to bring, and I'm willing to slay one. I'm willing to put that blood on my door. Do you realize what that would have cost? You're done, man. You're done as far as Egyptians go. Your neighbors, your family, you're dead to us. Forget it. Your neighbors, what? Those stinking slaves, man. Those slaves, those Hebrews who we've had the dominion over them. You're going to accept their God? Man, look, I'm telling you, you can have it. You can have it. Not me. Sheep. Sheep. Oh, the very thought of it. It would have cost you. But look what it cost them instead.
Right.
Every home at midnight, you go in to check on the kids. Honey, son. Son, wake up. Son, wake up. Can't you? Man, I wonder how far you could hear that cry. You know, because it was all throughout Egypt. I wonder how far you could hear that cry as it hit them at midnight, and they found out mama went to see the boy, check on the baby, you know, or daddy went to the, whatever, you know, that firstborn, however old. All the way to Pharaoh, man. From somebody down the dungeon, all the way to Pharaoh. And that cry that went up. Oh my. So you wouldn't do it, huh, Dad? You wouldn't do it, huh, Dad? Might lose some promotion, huh? You know, the boss down at the pyramid works where you cut the stones for the pyramid, you know. Might lose your job as a mason there, huh? I mean, you know, you got it in good, you know. You got your guilds to think of, you know. You got your clubs to think of. You got your job, you know. And what's it going to do in the neighborhood, you know? You can't join the clubs no more. You can't. You're going to be a stigma on you. I just can't do that. You can't do that, your family, could you, pal? So you can't put that blood on the door. You can't take that lamb. Oh, no, you can't do that. Okay, bud, there it is. You lost your firstborn. Brethren. Oh, brethren. Wouldn't want to stand. Wouldn't want to take that. So you lost that firstborn. All over. Yeah, it would have cost. Yeah, it would have. Look what it cost the Lord to give for us, to provide that way of salvation. No. They didn't do it. So they're like everybody else. They didn't stand out. They could join hands with all the other Egyptians who lost their firstborn that night. Do you think they drew comfort from that? Do you think it was any comfort? Hey, don't worry. Your neighbor over there, and even the king, he lost his firstborn. You think that helped me? All they do, take a lamb. All they had to do was stand and lose their pride. Swallow their pride and say, I got the wrong God. Apis and Amun-Ra and all these, they're not right. They've not done anything for me. I see who's got the power. And I accept the God of the Hebrews. I'm willing to do that. I'll take that lamb. Here, sir. Hey, can't you see it? Woo! You taught some humility. Can't you see that? Mr. Eleazar? It don't matter. Look, y'all got the right God. I don't care what anybody thinks, but I don't know how to do this stuff. And I've never messed with sheep. You know, they're an abomination. How do I do it? I'm willing to. Will you help me? Maybe that man said, hey, you know what? Look here. Moses told us, I got a small family here. Come on in my house.
Yeah.
I got some lamb. You can. Yeah. Woo! You take my lamb here. Just come on my house and we'll help you. Son, that'd been good.
Yeah.
Woo! That'd been good.
Amen.
And they'd have done it, I bet. Nobody did. Nobody did. You know what your Bible says? A mixed multitude went out of Egypt. That means there's some flying tail. That was some Egyptians that went out too. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to travel with them. They're going to go through the waters, but they never went through the blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All they, you know, good church members, man. I say good church members. They're not really good church members. They get to complaining, causing problems, but everybody makes excuses for them, you know, because they've been baptized and they've hooked up, you know, and they follow our law, but they've never been through the blood. Been through the water, been through everything else, but they've never been through the blood. Isaiah 53. Man, look at this. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for whose transgressions? For our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Folks, let me throw this in. The night I got saved, that's what I realized about Jonathan Doss. That I had gone my own way. Really, brother? You know what? The night I got saved, I had quit cussing about a couple of years before that. I had a foul mouth when I was about 7 or 8 years old. I'm ashamed of that. I'm not saying that arrogantly. I'm ashamed of it. But I've not heard a man cuss as bad as I did at 8 years old. That's shameful. But I got tore up about that, man. And I remember going to my mama, Mama, I've been cussing! You know, I tore up. Because I knew they'd have tore me up if they knew. Right? But so I remember I was weeping. I was because I knew, man. But this wasn't. I got that right. I felt better, but I wasn't saved. Check it out. I didn't cuss no more. Come on, man. You know, I mean, I didn't get a whole lot of bad things. Wasn't no whoring around like that at that age, you know, lady shit. You know, I hadn't heard nobody yet. You know, I was halfway cleaned up. You know, didn't cuss no more. But I'll tell you what. There came a night that the Holy Ghost of God showed me. You know what? Here's what the Holy Ghost showed me about me. I lived for nobody but me.
Right.
That night, the night I got saved, I realized, Jonathan Doss, you know who you live for? Do you know who you care about? Nobody but you. You don't care about God. You don't care about, you're living okay now, but you're not, you know, you're not getting a lot of trouble, but you live for you. Folks, that night I made the decision to turn from this fella, and I turned to God. I told Him I wanted to know Him. I accepted what His Son had done for me, just me and God dealing together. And I got born again. But I knew, brethren, I had turned to my own way. That was my problem. Not just the individual things I did. I went my way. And that night I turned from that to God through His Son. We have turned everyone to His own way. That's the key. That's the deal. And the Lord hath laid on Him, Christ, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was He stricken, and He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death, because He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth. Look at verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Now folks, I honestly love you. I don't know what else to do other than tell you. But if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you are fixing yourself. Do you realize what you're saying? Do you realize what you are saying to God when you tell Him, I don't think so. No, keep your track. I don't need Christ. I've got my own beliefs. I've got my own. I'm just as good as the next. Do you know what you're telling? Your Bible just said that it pleased the Father to bruise Christ, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. It's talking about Christ. It pleased the Father to bruise His Son. Whoa. Why? For His benefit? For you. For me. God loves you. Now, brethren, it's not a... When the world says God loves you, they don't have a clue. They don't understand the depth of what I don't understand the depth of it completely. Just a little bit I do is much more than I can handle sometimes. But the Lord loves you. He loves you so much, He was willing to bruise His Son for your sake. A lot of times you'll let your kids go through something hard for their sake. He let His Son go through that for your sake and for my sake just to give us the opportunity. You know, it would have been wonderful if the Lord knew that automatically everyone would be saved. But He lets our will be free to choose. Just to give you and me the chance, He was willing to do this. I want to tell you unequivocally right now, God's for you. Lord loves you. He is for you. And He, listen, no, there's nobody else for you like that. He was willing to go this far. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. It's amazing. Man, you need to pull somewhere sometime and pull your Bible out and just meditate on that. And let that just get in. He had put into grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. I want to close with that verse. I want to close with that verse, but here's what I want to close with. Look what it says. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. God the Father looked down and He saw Christ on that cross. He saw His travail. You know what He did at first? He turned His back on Him. That's unbelievable. At first, the Father turned His back. What did Jesus Christ cry out on the cross? My God! My God! Why hast Thou forsaken Me? From what I've understood, you can check it out, but what I understood, that's the only time that Christ, in talking to the Father, didn't refer to Him as Father. Always you hear Christ saying, Father, Father, Father. All of a sudden on the cross, He don't call Him Father. He says, My God, My God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? You know what had happened? The Father forsook Him. You see, your Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, Jesus didn't just bear your sins in mind. Oh, He did that, but He did much more. The Bible says He became sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5, 21, Jesus Christ became sin. It is as if, to destroy cancer, one man became all cancer. That's what Christ did. He became sin. He told Moses about it when he said, he told Nicodemus about it. When he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Bear with me. Bear with me real quick. You remember over in the book of Numbers, the children of Israel got to complaining of what happened. God sent fiery serpents. They were biting the people and they were dying. They were dying. They were dying. And they realized, Lord Moses, we've done wrong. We've done wrong. Pray to God for us. And Moses goes to God and the Lord says, Moses, here's what you do. Now, He didn't take the snakes away. Why, Brother Dawson? All they had to do was take the snakes away. They deserved it. They deserved what they were getting. So He didn't take them away. But He made a way out. He said, Moses, make a serpent of brass and hang it on a pole. Whoever's bitten, if they'll look to that serpent on the pole, they'll be healed. What was killing them? Fiery serpents. So Moses made a representation of the thing that was death to them, hung it up, and whoever looked at that was healed. What's death to you and I and the whole world? Sin. Sin. So Christ, in order to defeat sin, became sin. I mean, brother, literally, He became sin on that cross. So much so that the Father turned His back and Christ suffered alone. He forsook Him on that cross. It's amazing. And Christ, the blessed, blessed Lord Jesus Christ, suffered all alone on that cross as He became sin for us. But then, toward the end of that ordeal on the cross, you see Jesus Christ say, Father, into Thy hands I commit my spirit. The Father showed His face. You see, God the Father watched that travail of His Son and said, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. Christ, the Father was satisfied with the offering of His Son, with His sacrifice, with His blood. And we know that because He showed His face. Jesus called Him Father again. He was buried and He got up. The Father, God the Father, was satisfied with the sacrifice of His Son. Are you? And that's the thing I'm closing with you. God the Father was satisfied with the offering of His Son on my behalf when you are satisfied. The Father was satisfied. Are you? Well, I guess so. Well, have you accepted Him? Have you accepted that sacrifice on your behalf? Then you must not be satisfied. Can I ask you a question? What do you find wrong with Him? Whether you're here or listening on tape, if you've not received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then there must be something that you found wrong with Him. Will you tell me? Will you tell me? Will you tell me what you have found wrong with Jesus Christ? Oh, no, nothing. Won't you check the record out? Won't you check the record out? Won't you read about it? Won't you see if you can find something contrary about it? And if you can't, why don't you receive Him? Face the issue. The devil's hoping you'll shrug your shoulders and just, well, you know, I guess that's some good points, and let it go. Face the issue. Face the matter. You better face it now, because you will face it one day. It'll be too late. Face the matter now. Who is He? You got any fault with Him? What do you know about Him? You believe He's the Son of God? Do you believe His blood made it? What do you know about Him? You got any problem with Him? Check Him out! And if you can find no fault with Him, then why won't you receive Him? I think for most people the only answer given is my pride, I want to go my own way. Well, the Lord lets you do that. But to quote a saying, there's hell to pay at the end. Seriously. The Lord loves you. He's made a way out through His only begotten Son. The Father's satisfied with the sacrifice of His Son. I pray that you'd be satisfied with the sacrifice of His Son on your behalf. All they had to do was look to that serpent on the pole. If you've never looked to Jesus Christ to be saved, God's dealing with you this morning, I pray that you'd look to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation this morning. And if you are saved, take the time to just tell Him thank you once again and ask Him to make it ever more real and ever more precious to you. Father, I thank You for this time this morning. Thank You for Your Word. Lord, help us everyone to know where we are with Thee. Dear God, if there's anyone here or listening on tape that has never looked to the Lord Jesus for salvation, may this, Father, be the morning that they would do so. Have Your way. Have Your will, Father. Draw by the convicting power of Your Spirit. And Father, I pray that the saints, Lord, would get a fresh vision of all You've done for us in the Lord Jesus. Have Your way. Have Your will, Father. I pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like your heads bowed, your eyes closed there a minute. Just a time of meditation. My daughter's going to play. Listen. I don't know where you're at this morning. Spiritually speaking, I don't know where you're at. Only God knows that. But I would plead for some honesty this morning. I would plead for some honesty. Maybe you've just been given some food for thought this morning. Well, I pray you'd chew on it. I'd pray maybe you'd consider some things you've never considered before. If you've never seen the Lord Jesus Christ in truth, I pray that you'd see Him this morning. I pray you'd examine the record for yourself if you've never done so. But if you know where you're at, if you know what needs to be done, if God is dealing with you, if the Holy Ghost is extending an invitation to you, I pray that you'd say yes to Jesus Christ this morning, whether you're here or listening on tape. If the Lord has His hand outstretched to you, take it. Take it. Reach out by faith and take that outstretched hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to Him on that cross and be saved. Respond. I told you before, that priest didn't do it for you. He didn't put his hand on your... You did it. He'd tell you what you had to do, but you had to do it. I'll tell you what the book says, but you've got to make that response yourself, my friend. You've got to identify with Jesus Christ as bearing your sin and taking your place yourself. If you have done so, then thank God once again for His great love for you in Jesus Christ. Ask God to make it ever special and fresh and new to you. And may such knowledge spur us on to share our Lamb with those around us. You can't make them eat Him. You can't make them eat that Lamb. You can't make them receive Him. You can't do that. But you can present Him. You can present Him. And by the Lord's help, that we must do. One of the things I forgot to bring up, but I've told you this before, there's a progression in Exodus 12. It says, A Lamb, the Lamb, and your Lamb. A Lamb was needed. 2,000 years ago, the Lamb was provided. Now the big question, have you made Him your Lamb? Is Jesus Christ your Lamb? A Lamb was needed. He is the Lamb of God. But you've got to make Him your Lamb. If you haven't, I pray that you will. When I see the blood she's playing, I'll pass over you. Passover. It's not just a meal. It's not just a festive occasion. It's a reality. Fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. She's going to play through one more time. Just want to give you some chance to think. Chiefest of sinners, Jesus can save. All He has promised, that will He do. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Make sure that when He sees you, He sees the blood of the Lamb. Amen, folks. Amen. Appreciate you coming. Appreciate you being here.